For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Deuteronomy chapter 30 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'll be beginning in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. It's good to see Jesse and Sierra and their children here today. Good to have you all here. You're not really visitors, but good to have you here. And Fela, good to have you here this morning. God bless you. You're not a visitor either, but good to have all of you here. I know some of you came kind of a rough trail to get here. And some came many miles, some came over slippery roads. And I've already heard one van in the creek this morning. Brother Matt Johnson has one in the creek. But thankfully, nobody got hurt, right? And Tom, did you all, you're no problems? Amen. That's good. And I came just very slowly down our hill. I'll just leave it at that. Very slowly down our hill this morning. And so we're glad you made it safely and certainly as you head home. Man, I enjoyed Wednesday night. It was a little different type service. And we just had a family night. Had all the kids in here and had favorite Bible verse time among the adults and children and some special music and all of that. I'm glad we can meet in a nice warm place like this. And I'm glad for that. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and beginning in verse 11. I like to read to the end of the chapter. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven? And bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, verse 13, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But, he said in verse 14, the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God gave the word for a reason, that we might obey it and do it. And he said in verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. He said, it's a choice in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto this day. That ye shall surely perish, verse 18, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And Moses said, God said through Moses, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. I have set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. I want you to notice verse 19, my text this morning. I call heaven and earth to record this day. They're our witness that I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing to all the singing today. Thank you for the choir and special music. Thank you for Brother Dwayne and Adam. And thank you for the trio singing today. And what a blessing it's all been. And Lord, thank you for life that you've given us. Thank you for this abundant life that we have in Christ. And I pray for those that don't know Christ as Savior today, that they'd come to Christ even today. And I pray for those, Lord, that are making difficult life decisions. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them someone in their life that can help guide them toward God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I suppose it's about time, isn't it? It's about time for us to choose life. I like what Jesus said, and I like all that Jesus said. But in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said this, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said this, he said, I've come that you might have an abundant life. I've come to give you eternal life, but I've also given you an abundant life to live now on this earth. I've come that you might have an abundant, blessed life, a blessed life full of my blessings, full of my joy, full of my grace, and full of my mercy and love. And I want you to shed that and share that with others. And today on this Sanctity of Life Sunday, we read these verses from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And of course, the context here, God is giving His blessing and His prerequisites for revival in the land. He's telling Moses to tell Israel as they prepare to turn the reins of leadership over to Joshua. He says this. He said, I want you to know that if you're going to have my blessing, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to understand that the Word of God's been given you, and you don't have to go searching for it. It's not in a faraway land. You know, it's not out in the seashore somewhere. He said, the word that I've given you is nigh unto you, and I've given you those that will remind you of that word and teach you that word. And God said, I gave you that word that you might obey it. And when a nation fails to obey God and walk with God, you know, it's a spiraling out of control. It's a regression of things. In Romans chapter 1, Monday night in our School of the Bible, we were looking at what happens when a nation, when a civilization, when a group of people leave God out, when they worship the Creator more than they worship the creature more than the Creator. When they take God off His throne and put man on the throne, it doesn't work out well. And it hasn't. And certainly in Romans chapter 1, we see that God said any civilization, He said, look, the Jews are guilty, the Gentiles are guilty, the whole world is guilty, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He says this, He said, this is why. He said that in Romans chapter 1, He said God gave them up to uncleanness, then they continued to spiral away from God, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And God said they spiraled down and regressed and fell into a place of uncleanness. And He said uncleanness was not vile enough for them. Now they've spiraled all the way down to a place of vile affections, and then from vile affections to a reprobate mind, a mind that is unable to make decisions that are rational and spiritual. And I've said often that, you know, America's at a crossroads, but we've done gone through the intersection, and we've gone left of center. And we're headed down a road, and we see what happens in a nation that forgets God. We've seen it. We see it played out in our generation. We see it played out in America. When a nation leaves God behind, everything is up for grabs for the devil. And you know, there are just so many things that we could say right there. But in Romans chapter 1, it says God gave them up. And I pray that God's not given up on America. I certainly have not given up on America. And I pray that God would give revival again in America. And I believe that God wants to give revival in America. And I think God is able to give revival to America. But notice here, he says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful and proud and boasters and inventors of evil things, including abortion. I think of the Old Testament when they would offer their babies to the false gods of the day, Moloch and others, and they would pass their babies through the fire. It's an awful time. It says disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers. And of course, when people have no knowledge of God and they lose that conscience and that conviction that there's a God in heaven that they have to answer to, then no doubt the inventors of evil things become worse and worse. They wax worse and worse. Implacable. Implacable means they're unforgiving. They're hateful and filled with hate. Unmerciful. Without natural affection. Homosexuality and lesbianism. Covenant breakers. No understanding. And that's why God has placed us here as a local church. God has placed you in your family. God's placed you in your community. God's placed you in your workplace to be salt and light because people have no understanding. They have no understanding. All they have is the evening news and the constant stuff that's being peddled across the news waves as truth and as not truth. All they have is what's being pumped out of our colleges and the liberalism of the day. They have no understanding. And that's why when they see their baby in an ultrasound and they see the face of their baby, startling to them. When they see that heartbeat and they feel the heart and they hear the heartbeat, I think of John the Baptist who, when he heard the name of Jesus, even within Elizabeth's womb, it says he shouted for joy. He had personality. He was alive. And we see what happens when a nation leaves God out and pushes God aside and says, God will do it and we don't need you. We don't believe in you. And even then, in verse 32, it says, even knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Who knowing the judgment of God, and of course, in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, we're here to help people to choose life. Don't choose judgment. Don't choose death. Don't make decisions that you're going to regret one day. But if you do make those decisions, there's still refuge in Christ, but you're going to live with the scars. All of us have scars that show up on our x-rays from our youth, and we have scars from stitches and things from our youth. We've lived through them, but they're scars. But there are worse scars than that in life. They're scars of the heart. God, through Moses here, he gives the people of God a call to decision. He said, you can choose life and blessing, or you can choose death and cursing. He said, I've set before thee this day life, though. I've set before thee life. Now, you say, well, preacher, you're taking that passage out of context. Perhaps a bit, but I think the principle is there. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. They're called as witnesses. I think America's going to have a lot to answer for when we stand before God one day. By the way, we'll stand individually before God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So it's about time we choose life. May I say, What do you mean, Brother Rick? Well, first of all, may I say this. I think we should choose life. And I think we have a choice to protect life in the womb. We have a choice to protect life within the womb. I mean, first of all, we protect life. You say, how can we do that, Brother Rick? Well, we can protect life in the womb through the Lord and his help and his blessing. We offer people Christ. We offer people salvation. We offer people the gospel. And life, Jesus said, he is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. He is the beginning of life, and he is the ending of life. So we offer people protection, and we offer those babies protection, and we offer people protection. God offers us protection, and we ought to offer as a nation and as a society, we ought to commit to choose to protect life in the womb. And only through the Lord can we do that. But also, not only through the Lord, but through legislation. Amen. We have an election coming up, a number of elections coming up, and it's through legislation. God has given us, in fact, Brother Beal preached on that passage in Isaiah 33 the other day, that God is our judge and God is our king and God is our savior and God is our lawgiver. And that those are the very words of scripture that our founding fathers used to set up the three levels of government, the legislative branch and the judicial branch and the executive branch, right out of the Bible. But don't forget, you can't legislate morality. That's what they say. But I'm saying through legislation, we can change things. We all have one vote, and we ought to cast it. We ought to cast that vote for life. Find candidates that are pro-life. Ask them. Now, a lot of times they'll just slough over that and say, oh, yeah, I'm pro-life. Be specific. Ask them what they believe. What are you willing to do? For years, many were elected to office in West Virginia on the coattails of pro-life Christian voters. But they weren't really pro-life. And when it came time, crunch time to really do something and to pass bills that had teeth in them that would change things in West Virginia, then they backed off. Now they're still there in the legislature, but we have leadership now that will stand for life. I would find them. I would vote for them. And I would be very open about that. And I'm thankful that as a nation, we've set aside Roe versus Wade. And don't believe all the garbage that the news gives us. That, you know, listen, our founding fathers, our Constitution never stated in that Constitution, in that great Bill of Rights, all of that, the right of a woman to have an abortion, that was not in the Constitution. It was never in the Constitution. And there are those today that want to make that an issue. It should have been cast aside years ago. So through legislation, through the Lord. And then may I say, we ought to protect life in the womb. Number three, through love. You know, a lot of times we paint with a broad brush those that are having abortions and all of that kind of thing. And a lot of times they don't have any hope. They don't see any hope. They can't find any hope. And it just looks like a dead end to them. And we ought to offer them love. That's what the church is here for. So what Christians are here for. We ought to promote life through our love. And so he says to protect life in the womb, to choose life. May I remind you that one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. It's still in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. That wasn't a suggestion. It's a commandment. Ten Commandments. To protect life in the womb, may I say, we ought to choose to protect life in the womb. Number two, we ought to choose on this National Right to Life Day, we ought to choose to promote life outside the womb. Amen. Let's promote life. Jesus said in John 10, he said, I've come that you might have life. Have it more abundantly. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Hey, if Christians would begin to let our light so shine before men, if Christians would find the joy of the Lord, if Christians would find the fruit of the Spirit again, as Galatians 5 implores us to do, if we'd find that, hey, we could promote a better life. The church ought to be, an institution that's not just a building on a corner, but they ought to be a great lighthouse for this world promoting life. We ought to promote it. Someone said today, you know, life doesn't always give us great things to remember. Life, we understand that, but we can promote Jesus and promote an abundant life and a joyful life and a blessed life and a better life. Dr. Falwell used to say this. He said, if I didn't believe the Bible and if there were no God, and he said, I still believe that the Christian life, of course, you'd have to believe the Bible, but he'd just make this statement rhetorically. He said, I would rather live the Christian life than any other life. Of course, there is a Bible and there is a God in heaven. And there is a Savior. But we ought to promote life. Your life ought to be a promotion for life. Got plenty of thumb-sucking Christians. Just walk around with their thumb in their mouth all the time. And we ought to praise the Lord. Not just, I mean, not faking it and all that kind of thing. But I'm talking about praising the Lord and promoting life. And it's one thing to talk. It's another thing to act. Like the ministry we saw today, Woman's Choice Pregnancy Center. I like what Coach Jim Harbaugh, who at least this week is still the coach of University of Michigan Wolverines, Randy. 15-0 this year, won a national championship. Came from a family of coaches. Coach Jim Harbaugh spoke this weekend at the National Right to Life March. I'm talking about promoting life. I want you to listen to the words of Coach Harbaugh when he said this. He said, "I've told them the same thing I tell my kids. I've told them the same thing I tell my kids, my boys, my girls. The same thing I tell our players. The same thing I tell our staff members." Coach Harbaugh said, "I encourage them, if they have a pregnancy that was not planned, to go through with it. Go through with the pregnancy. Have the baby. Let that unborn child be born. And if at that time," Coach Harbaugh said, "if at that time you don't feel like you can care for it, the baby, you don't have the means or the wherewithal to care for that baby, then Sarah," his wife, he said, "then Sarah and I will take that baby." Now think about that. Now that's putting your money where your mouth is. You know, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to take him up on that. April was sharing about, I think, a lady that was down when the abortion clinic was still open there to do abortions. I think they're open again, but they're not doing abortions, thank God. But they were having some protests there just across the street there on the corner. And someone held up a sign and said, "I will adopt your baby." And someone took them up on that. They adopted their baby. There are options. There is hope. And I'm glad for these that promote life. They're not just talking about it. They're saying, "Hey, I'll do it. I'll do it." I mean, there are people here today that have adopted children. And I mean, they're as much your children as any, as if their blood, your blood was coursing through their veins. There are options, and we ought to promote life, and we ought to protect life. And then number three, we ought to choose to have a purpose for life. God has a purpose for life. Every life has a divine, God-given purpose. Every life. That purpose, of course, is to glorify God in heaven. Jeremiah, that great prophet of old, who preached judgment to his nation, but he offered hope, but judgment was coming. God said about Jeremiah, that prophet. Now I think about this one man who wrote one of the major prophecies in the Bible, one of the major prophets' books of the Bible. This one man, think, multiply this by the millions. But God had a purpose for Jeremiah. And he said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God said, "Jeremiah, I knew you." I mean, before your fingers really began to form, I knew you. I watched as your spine was formed and your head was formed and your heart began to beat. I knew you. I knew you before they knew whether you were a boy or a girl. I knew you. And God said to Jeremiah, "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." God said, I had a plan and a purpose. I had a purpose for your life. I set you apart in your womb. And I wonder, what are people going to say to God one day that have interrupted and ended and shortened and never gave an opportunity for millions of Jeremiahs to fulfill their purpose in life? God had a purpose and a plan for them, but it was snuffed out through the horrors of abortion. I wonder how many doctors, preachers, nurses, teachers, mothers, fathers, on and on. You fill in the blank. Before thou camest forth out of the womb. I mean, we have killed a generation in America. An entire generation of people that God had a plan for. God had a purpose for them. He said, Jeremiah, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child, Jeremiah said, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Oh, listen, God has a purpose for every life. Every life has a divine given purpose. We're not all Jeremiahs, but we all have a purpose. In Ecclesiastes, he said that the whole duty of man is to serve God and keep his commandments. The whole duty of man. We ought to choose to have a purpose. Find your purpose in life. And then, number four, we ought to choose to have a passion for life. Have a passion for life. Have a passion. Be excited about getting up in the morning. Your left leg has to beg your right leg to get out of bed. You have to turn on your phone, if you can find it, figure out what day it is. What am I supposed to do today? What doesn't hurt, doesn't work. I mean, to have a passion for life in spite of all that. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says this, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth or your youthfulness. He said, be an example of the believers. How are we to be an example? He said, be an example in word and what you say. Be an example in your conversation, how you live. Be an example in charity, how you love. He said, be an example in spirit and your enthusiasm. He said, be an example in your faith and how you walk with God. Be an example in your purity, keeping yourself clean before God. And he said, till I come, have some passion. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. So many today have lost their passion for life. And I think he was saying this, Timothy, don't lose your passion in your youthfulness, but don't lose your passion in any phase of your life. Don't lose your passion. I think one of the great stories of the football season was Joe Flacco. I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan, but man, Joe Flacco was sitting on a couch, you know, watching football. The Cleveland Browns called him and said, man, we need you to quarterback our team. And he came and, man, just began to win and win and win. I mean, got off the couch. That encourages me, Mitch. I think probably I could, I mean, especially this year, I could play quarterback. Yeah. If you give me some good blocking. That's the problem. And here's the thing. I mean, he took the Browns further than anybody ever thought they'd go. And maybe those general managers are saying, you know, maybe we don't need to pay these guys all these millions of dollars. Let's find these guys that are retired sitting on the couch. Passion for life. Harlan Sanders didn't really begin to make good chicken until he was in his 60s. But he would take that pressure cooker and go around and sell his chicken to restaurants and say, hey, I want you to try this chicken. And finally, it took off. And may I say that you know the rest of the story. Amen. I like it. I like grilled chicken, fried chicken, stewed chicken, roasted chicken, chicken and dumplings, barbecued chicken. I even like chickens that walk through my yard. Amen. Have a passion for life. Have a passion for life. I think of Nisha Holly that, you know, not that she's getting up in years, but went back to school and started another career. Said, I think I want to be a teacher. Amen. Have a passion for life. Set some goals, you know. I told Randy and Diane there before the service, I said, I bet you're glad to be home. You know, just a week ago, they were on a cruise ship, 80-some degrees, suffering for Jesus. Welcome home. Amen. Glad you made it. Have a passion for life. I'm not saying get a motorcycle if you're 65 years old and take up motocross again. I mean, you know, God gives us common sense, you know. Why not enjoy life? God wants us to enjoy life. Have a passion for life. Have a passion for souls. The Bible says in Jude 22, he says, and on some have compassion, making a difference. I mean, we ought to become passionate again about compassion. Get a passion about people. Be a passionate people person and decide, I want to try to win some people to God this year and get them ready for heaven and be passionate about rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying, because someday all of us will face God face to face one day, saved or lost. Now look, all of these things, all these other pursuits are not bad pursuits, but I'll tell you what, we ought to become passionate about eternal things again. The church ought to be passionate again about the Great Commission. Be an example in your word, in your conversation, in your charity, in your spirit, in faith and purity. Why? Because all of these things contribute or take away from people going to heaven. Have a passion for life. Have a purpose for your life. Choose to promote life. Choose to protect life in the womb. And then may I say this, choose to have a peace in your life. Some of you may be watching today by way of internet. There may be folks here today that are not ready for heaven. You have no peace. Jesus said in John 16, He said, my peace I give unto thee, not as the world gives, give I unto you. My peace I give unto you. And here's the thing, you can choose peace today. The peace that passes all understanding. I was by the bedside of a dear saint yesterday, preparing for heaven. You know what? People weren't flying apart. You know what there was in that room? There was peace in that room because Christ was in the midst of the room. There's peace that passes all understanding that God says will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My peace, not as the world gives. Deuteronomy chapter 30, back to our text in verse 14. He said, the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. That very verse Paul quoted to the Romans in chapter 10 and verse 8. And he says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. And what was the next verse that Paul gave in conjunction with Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He said there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14, that word was given and God offered peace through that very word hundreds of years later through the Apostle Paul's pen. God offers us peace. I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You want peace in this life? Peace is not a large inheritance that you've laid up. Peace is not a paid off house. All those things are good. Peace is not having the best of health, but the peace that passes all understanding, God says, you can choose it. And it's found in my Son, Jesus Christ. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said that thou mayest love and that thou mayest obey, that thou mayest cleave unto him. And this is it, for he is thy life. He's thy life. Life is in him. Quoting Jim Harbaugh again, there's really no rights that are important unless you have the right to life. You know what? We ought to give these children an opportunity to live. Give them an opportunity to live. Give them an opportunity to be born. To have a passion for life. To have a purpose. To find the peace of God. And you know what? Those of us that are here, we ought to promote the Christian life. Your life is the greatest witness that this world may ever see. Your life is the only Bible that many will ever read. Promote it. Promote Him. Promote Him.